Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We got a great show lined up, so let's get started. And that's the old intro from back before 2012. If you're an old listener, you'll remember that one. This is Ashlyn Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe. This is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. It is the week of August 10th. I'm back for a monthly edition of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. And yes, I am back. I have unfortunately had to turn this into a monthly podcast, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on, although I do hope to have a lot of information in this show about the my status as a runner. My status as a long-distance runner, mid-distance runner. When I say mid-distance, I mean the half-marathon distance, because I consider myself a marathoner with my 26, 27 marathons that I've run, with several being ultras. If you're a new listener to the show, that's generally what this show is about, is all things running. Sometimes there's a little bit of a political spin put on some of the commentary, but normally, for the most part, it's unsanitized comments about running long distances, half marathons, marathons, and beyond, because that's what I like to do. So yes, I'm back, and I appreciate all returning listeners that come back for this episode, for episode 212 of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I've been doing this show since 2008, and it is now 2015, and it's kind of hard to believe that I've eclipsed the 200 episode mark and still going. I don't try for quantity in this show. Otherwise, I'd have 500 episodes by now, or more. I try to wait till I have something to say, and then I put it in the open up the GarageBand software right here at my podcast studio, which is my kitchen counter right here on the MacBook Pro, and talk. And really, having a lack of things to talk about has really been the reason for the lack of shows being produced. Lack of things to talk about means generally as a result of the lack of running or productive running that gives me stuff to talk about. However, in the last episode, which was called New Running Group, I talked about Race Team RVA, and RVA stands for Richmond, Virginia. That's the group that I'm running, I'm training with for this marathon season. And I've made a decision here lately that has relieved me of a whole lot of stress. And that decision is that I am not going to be running the Richmond full marathon. I'll be running the Richmond half marathon. There's many reasons for that, which I will kind of get into as the show develops. And I've come up with some great excuses for not getting out there and run. You'll see as the show goes on. But I had to take some time off and from work, and I got stressed out, and I've been having some personal issues, some personal problems that will remain just that, personal, because they're for me to deal with, not for the podcast listeners, for you guys out there. I'm not quite ready to share any of that. Probably won't, but anyway, they're personal issues that have caused me to lose a lot of motivation for physical training, and well, they're personal, so it's kind of hard to get into that. But let's back up a little bit. I'm with this new training group, which was the last show was about that, called Race Team RVA. It's a great group. The people are great. However, the coaches don't really talk to anybody. The head coach, his name is Dan Blankenship, and there's several other coaches that we've been introduced to. And every other week or whatever, the head guy has them raise their hands. But I've yet to have any of them come up to me while I'm running and do anything for me. I'm not sure what the deal is there. One of the friends is John Snuggs. I mean, he's one of the coaches, and I know him, and he knows my ability. So it's not like, and he brings up the rear of the group, and I'm not slamming them as a group, but I don't understand. I haven't really met them. I don't even know their names. I know one of them, the name is Jesse. because that was easy to remember, but I don't know who the other ones are. I'm not really sure why I feel this way about that, but I do like the group overall. I've met several new people, which was really the whole reason for me to join this group. And it takes it's about a 20-minute drive from my house to meet up with the Race Team RVA, and they do have a half marathon component in that. And what I found, this is what I was finding myself not doing was because of some new excuses I've come up with, some real creative stuff that. For excuses for not doing the midweek runs, I was getting to a point where I was just kind of becoming the weekend warrior. I tried really hard to do the Monday interval runs, and it's just been the humidity and the heat here in the metropolitan Richmond area has been just so brutal this summer, and it's only not even mid-August at this point, it's close. It was even hard to run inside over at Randolph-Macon College because of my profession. I'm able to get access to that gym over there, and there's never hardly anybody there in the summer. And it's a great facility. They have a tenth of a mile indoor track, and then they have treadmills and stuff. And I was doing my interval training over there, and it's just so brutally hot, even hot in the gym. I was just finding all kinds of excuses, and so I was finding myself becoming a weekend warrior. And just doing the runs on the weekend, which up to the point where this past weekend was 10, and I actually did 10. I did it in about an hour and 50 minutes, so I'm not really running fast or anything, and kind of slogging along, but I got it done. And I was able to get some midweek runs in there. I had to get away from just doing that weekend warrior stuff because you can't run a half marathon just running once a week, for a long run. Well, maybe you can. I'm kind of close to doing that, so we'll kind of see what happens on August 29th when I run the Patrick Henry Half Marathon here in the center of the universe. But the race team is I kind of forgot where I was going with that. But the race team has full marathon and half marathon mileage each weekend, and it's about a 20-minute drive for me to get out there. And I've been getting up. We start at 6:30, so I get up at 5, and I leave the house by 6 to get out there. And a few days, I actually went out there and ran a little early, so I could run with the group. But here's the interesting thing: is that I start with the group, but I never end with the group. It's such a different training experience from going back to when I did my first half marathon training group back in 2006, out in the West End of Richmond, similar type of area, which was always with people. And there were coaches there that were kind of grouping people together. This is not that at all. And I don't know, what the issue is. You got people running with headphones, right from the very beginning. And there's a whole lot of people that do that. And, if somebody's got headphones in, I don't talk to them. Because I've heard, what that statement is that they don't want to listen to what you say. They just want to listen to what's on their device. So the only time I put my headphones in is when I'm by myself. So I bring my little iPod Shuffle, and I wrap the headphone wires around it, and I put it in my little spy belt, that little small personal item elastic thing you can put around. And that fits really good right under my gut, so you can't even tell I have it on because my gut hangs over my running shorts a little bit. So I only use that for when I'm totally by myself, and I usually end up that way, either from me taking a walk break or running ahead of somebody or... and then we have a lot of these guys on that run right past you, and they don't even stop and talk. So I'm not really sure, what's missing there. But overall, I do like it. I'm able to get through half my run for the most part with Kelly, who I've talked about lots. Kelly Browning, she's been a great running partner over the years. I've known her since back in 2006, run that original training group together for the marathon that fall. And she challenges me. She's running a marathon in September and possibly another one in October. And she runs at a quicker clip. So I do a lot of my running is at a quick pace, what do you run, Kelly? Like a 9:30? I think she listens to the show, although I don't hear from her very often. 9:30 or a 9:45 pace. And I ran, this is going to sound really weird. She gets there early, runs extra. And then she adds little out and backs during the running route. So she actually comes up to me, runs with me, and passes me. And that gives me an opportunity to kind of run a little faster while I'm with her. And that's what I did during the 10 mile. I ran with her for about 2 miles from kind of 5.5 to 7.5. And it was awesome. And it was, you know, cool to get some of that mid-mileage done to get me up to the double digits, which I ended up doing the rest of it by myself. So overall, I really do like the new training group. And this past Saturday, I was August 8th, I was able to get to 10 miles for the first time since last fall. And that was just a huge milestone because I've just been having these motivational issues, some problems getting out, running after work. And most of y'all know that I don't run in the morning except on the weekends. I run after work when I get home, and it's just easier for me that way. Now, this past week, today's a Monday, last Monday, my wife and daughter flew to Italy to go visit my wife's relatives over there. Her brother lives there, and she's got an aunt and an uncle and several of her cousins. Her first cousins, and then my daughter's got a first cousin over there. And so, you know, a lot of people at work have been saying, well, why didn't you go? Well, I've been before. I've been to Europe several times. Actually, I've been three times, I think. And so, yeah, that there's just really no reason for me to go. It's an Italian culture. It's really just easier for me not to go and be in the way, especially I got a 14-year-old daughter now. And it's just best for me not to, none of them speak enough English for me to really communicate with them. And so it's a lot easier for me just to not go and let my wife and daughter just be immersed in the Italian culture. This is my daughter's fourth trip to Europe as a 14-year-old. It's really pretty unbelievable. And just let her enjoy that side of the family without me kind of getting in the way. Because I know my personality type is such that I'll be resistant. I just know that. And I know that about myself. And gosh, I've been with my wife now for 20 years. This fall will be 20 years. And so she understands, and it's really just a lot easier. And we've been talking on FaceTime, which is just, you know, amazing technology. It really is to, you know, just pretty much talk over the internet whenever you want. And the quality is really good. And so yeah, we've been checking in, but do miss them. And so, yes, some people, they would think, okay, well, the reason you don't run in the morning is you've always said that your wife works out in the morning. Well, now she's not there. What do you do? I said, well, that means I got to get up earlier to walk the dog before I go to work. And it's really hard for me to get up consistently morning after morning at 5:30, which is what I've been doing. I usually get up at 6 and I go to bed between 10 and midnight, and I get up at 6. It's a lot different when you're getting up at 5:30. And it's a lot different getting up at 5. And if I was to run in the morning, I guess I could run with the dog. But that means I just got to get up at 5 or a little before that because I got to be at work before 8. And I just can't do it. Don't want to do it. You know, come up with excuses not to do it. And you know, that's me. So I did some runs after work. I'm not even keeping a log anymore or weekly mileage added up. I'm just kind of focusing on the long run on the weekend now. And, of course, I'm looking forward to the family coming back late this Wednesday night, and we'll get back into our regular family routine. And I actually go to bed earlier on Friday nights than I do any other night of the week because I get up at 5 on Saturdays. And I think it's just that feeling of knowing I don't have to go to work, and that's really what helps me to run. I do sometimes do a little job on the weekends from noon to 5. But I don't have to be, you know, at work at 9, so I don't have to rush to get home after running, get cleaned up, you know, shaved, and out the door. So I guess that's why I like the Saturday morning runs, because then I can, you know, go get my biscuit after the run and kind of meander around and come home and ice my knees. I've had to start icing my knees again, and after I got up to 8 miles, I decided it was just easier if I started icing my knees, and that way I could function the rest of the day, it's something I did many years ago, and I kind of got away from it. And now that I'm 46 years old, I think it's probably a good idea to do that. So that's kind of a whole lot about getting up to double digits. I'm excited about it. I'm hoping this kind of springboards me into a confident half marathon season this fall. I've got the Patrick Henry Half Marathon coming up August 29th. That's right here in the center of the universe where I can walk to the start finish, and Dr. Smitty's coming up to that for a visit, and we got a big Saturday night planned at the Center of the Universe Brewery Company, brewery, and then my next race is going to be the Richmond Half Marathon, which is November 14th on a Saturday, and it was a big relief when I I made that decision. And here's the reason I made the decision, is that the Richmond Half Marathon is a very popular race, and it's the biggest one of the three races they have, which is the 5K, no, not the 5K, the 8K, the half marathon, and then the full marathon. And the half marathon has sold out over the years since they kind of reinstituted it back. The full marathon doesn't. So you can switch up from the half to the full with by paying a fee, but you can't come down from the full to the half. And so I thought, well, if it sells out, I better go ahead and register. I can always, if for some reason I get really inspired and I get all these miles in, which I don't see happening, but if for some reason I, you know, get all inspired, and you know, I'm running 16, 14, 16, 18 mile training runs leading up to November, which, you know, I'm not counting that out, but I had to kind of plan now. So I went ahead and signed up and registered for the half marathon, and it's kind of a relief, because now I know that I only have to do so much, and to get to kind of have a fun fall season and get through this total funk that I've been experiencing since really November of last year. You know, the streak I did, I think it was all of every day of February I ran, or every day of January I ran, just that kind of sucked. I mean, you guys out there that do the streaks, I mean, I guess you've had more success. I got away from it, got tired of it. It was just too much pressure. Even to go out and do a 2 mile minimum was just kind of getting to the point where I was like, oh, I'll just do 2 miles. That's all I got to do. And then I can worry about tomorrow. But anyway, so I'm hoping that the fall season will work out with this. And the funny thing is, I never run the Richmond Half before. I just never have. That route goes through a large city park that I used to take when I had two black labs and we lived down in an area of Richmond called the Fan District. We used to take our dogs over to this park and just let them run and run and run and run. And so the part of the half marathon route goes through there, and I've never run a race through this park, which is pretty large. Matter of fact, there used to be a half marathon over there called the Procrastinators Half Marathon, and that's a topic for a different day. So let's get back to this kind of stack of stuff I got here in my notebook. Yeah, okay, so I took some time off from work. It was kind of the time off was planned, but it came at a perfect time because I was just really getting stressed out, and I needed to get away from the job for a little bit, and I did. And we took a trip, which was already scheduled, down to Macomb, Mississippi, for our, I think it was the 36th family reunion on my mom's side of the family, and they're all from the Deep South down in the Delta is what it's called, and we met at a place called Percy Quinn State Park. And we rent cabins, so there's a big lake there, and swimming pool, and there's a meeting, like a meeting lodge, which is where we meet and have our meals, and everybody visits, and we do this big shrimp boil, and it's just a great large time. And the cool thing about it is we have a running group down there. Now, we meet every year. I take my family down there every other year because of the expense. It's just so far to drive, which can be done, although I have to admit, unfortunately, my wife is not really the type that likes to sit in the car for, it's pretty much a 16-hour drive straight, if you were to go straight. That's too much for her and my kids. So, you know, if I was driving straight, I would just go straight, you know, get up really early and, you know, leave the house at 5 and get down there that evening. You know, you just take some breaks, but we would have to do it in 2 days. But anyway, we flew down this year, and of course, that's expensive. So we try to do it every other year. And so we joined the running group that gets out on a Saturday morning. And it's really cool because one of my cousins, well, let's back up a little bit. I've got some people in the race group, or the running group, are actually, I guess you can consider my first cousins once removed. They're the adult children of my first cousins. Because I'm the youngest, I'm kind of the youngest of the second generation on my mom's side that kind of goes to this family reunion. It's kind of hard to explain, but my mom was the youngest of 10, and so as a result, all my actual cousins, which are pretty much almost my mom's age because she was the youngest, are old enough to be my parents for the most part. So a lot of my first cousins are much older than me, so as a result, I've kind of become more friendly friend cousin types with their children, and two of those are brother and sister, and one of them's in the Navy. He didn't make it this year, but he's been there over the years, and so one of the cousins, Mary Grace, puts the run together, and it's a lot of fun. It's just great. Everybody runs together and talks. It's not a race or anything. And what's kind of funny is some of the people who organize the family reunion, they think that we have this big race on Saturday mornings, you know, because we get up before everybody else and get out there and run the quote race and take pictures and this and that. And it is a totally relaxed group run where people just spend that time to kind of catch up. And it's just visiting with each other, but, you know, we're running while we do it. And the cool thing is that Mary Grace and her brother Joe came and ran the Richmond Half and Richmond Full last year in Richmond, because we have some other cousins once removed that live in the Richmond area. And actually, one of my first cousins lives in the Richmond area and on my mom's side. And so we had the marathon party after the Richmond Full. We have a party every year for everybody that wants to straggle in that runs the Richmond Marathon that we know. And they came, and it was just really cool because they got to see our house for the first time. And because they live in Louisiana, and the other one's in the Navy, and he's been all over the world. But he's based in Charleston now, as a matter of fact. Probably see more of him once he gets off the submarine that he commands. And I think he's getting out of the Navy in the next couple of years. He went to the Naval Academy. But another one of the runners from the running group is my first cousin named John Pendergrass. And I have talked about him before. In this show, he has completed triathlons on several continents, and he wrote a book a couple of years ago. And one of the podcasts is about him talking about his book, and I'm going to look that up real quick. All right, I looked it up. That's going to be episode 180, and you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and go on the archives on the right side of the screen. Go back to July of 2013, and it'll come right up. It's called Podcast 180 Against the Odds, and it's about my cousin John Pendergrass, who's run all these triathlons or completed them. It's pretty amazing, and he wrote a book, and you can get the book on Amazon. It's been published. Anyway, he has invited me down for the second time to do the Mississippi 50 and or Mississippi Trail 50, and this is a very attractive idea, and it might just be what I need to get me out of this training funk is an ultra marathon. They do a 50K and a 50 miler. I actually considered this run for my first 50 miler back when I did the first 50 miler, which was the one that I ended up doing in Virginia. The Mississippi 50 is held on March 5th of the next one's going to be March 5th of 2016. And the reason I had considered it back then is because really the side of the family that I identify with is from the Delta area, the Delta region of Mississippi. And this is just not too far. This race is not too far out of Hattiesburg, which is where my cousin John lives. It's up in Laurel, which is just northeast of Hattiesburg. So he's invited me to come stay with him. And this is the second year he's invited me, second time. And one thing I've learned is that when you turn down one invitation, that's one thing because you're busy. When you turn down a second invitation, you don't get asked again. And all I would really need to do is just to get there. And I'm thinking about the 50K, not a 50 miler, but the 50K. That, you know, an ultra marathon is still a 50K. So he still does part of it. I think he says he thinks they have a 35K option if you want to quit. And so I'm giving that some thought. That would be the week before Graveyard in March. So I would be away two weekends, which would be tough. What I might end up doing is just taking some time off from work. You know, this would require a full travel day for either driving or flying, a full travel day coming back. The thought of driving, let's see, from his house to here would be more of like a 12-hour drive, 13-hour drive. The thought of driving that far after running a 50K, you know, the next day is a pretty dismal thought. Although, and the thought of sitting on a plane after doing that is a pretty dismal thought. However, I have experienced that after I did the 50 miler down in the Florida Keys. We did fly back, sat on a plane. So that's an idea, and that's an idea that I've thrown out to my good friend Lummix, who he did submit something for the email bag, so I'll get to that. He ran the Rosaryville 50K a couple weeks back, and he wasn't dead freaking last, but I think he said he was close. But he finished. That was the main thing. I I think that was his first 50K, if I'm not mistaken. He's done a couple marathons, I think, before that. So, yeah, this is something that's going to be on my radar, and it's something that I'm probably going to be talking about some. Registration opens October 1st, and so by then I will have done the half marathon here in the center of the universe, and if that goes somewhat decent, then I might go ahead and register for this thing. And, you know, once you register, that's when you start putting plans together. Now, it is on a trail down in Mississippi. Everybody knows it's flat down there. However, the big thing that kind of pushed me away from this was that I'm kind of having an aversion to running through standing water that comes up to your knees and mud. So we'll see, you know. But I do know that on this thing that it's a loop course, so you go by the start area several times, and you can leave a drop bag. So that's something that I might do, because I really had a lot of success doing that last fall when I did 53 miles down in the in that coastal forest in North Carolina. So you'll hear me talking about that some as time goes on. Like I said, I took some time off, and let's go ahead and get to. Let me just talk about a few other things real quick. I got a family heirloom the other not too long ago. When I was down at the family reunion, I was talking to one of my friends, one of my cousins, Alan. He's actually John's brother. And it turns out that he had my uncle's Navy locker from World War II. There's apparently a pair of these. And I've kind of become the defunct default family historian or artifact holder since my aunt, who's the oldest, only my mom and one of my aunts, the oldest aunt, are still alive from the original 10 children, my mother and then one of her older sisters, and she apparently had a lot of old stuff through the years that she's gotten, because she's the only, you know, she's survived. And we got the old family Bible from, oh gosh, back before 1900. And then I also got two documents recently that I'm having preserved. One of them I'm having preserved. The other one I'm just having framed. My grandfather's first communion certificate, which was before 1900. Because my mom's father was born in 1887. My grandfather, I mean, that's really weird. He was old when I first met him. When I was a little boy, he was old. So anyway, so, you know, my cousin Alan hurt. He said, "Oh, I understand you're the whole keeper of the artifacts now. I've got an old Navy locker of Uncle Joe's." And my Uncle Joe served in the Second World War. He was a lieutenant commander in the Navy and served in the Pacific. So I've got, had it shipped up here, contacted UPS down there. Everything worked out perfect. Shipping was only about $60. And now I've got this Navy footlocker of my uncle's that has you know, different markings on, including Pearl Harbor and some other stuff. And my cousin John, that I've talked about a few minutes ago, actually has the other one, the companion locker, that he didn't even know it was Uncle Joe's until we started talking about these things. And so it's a very nice compliments. Very nice the flag that I have in a wooden box, the display box. That was on my uncle's coffin when he was buried in Arlington, so National Cemetery. So I have these things now that I'm very proud of, and I don't really know what to do with them yet. I think we might set up a room in our house that has some of the, now that I've acquired a lot of older family, I say artifacts, I guess heirlooms is the better word. There's a room we need to put them in so we can look at them. So that's pretty cool. I just wanted to tell everybody about that. If you've been listening to the show, you've heard me talk about my Uncle Joe Schramm. He was born in 1916, and he died in 2011 at the age of 95, something like that. He was old. He actually outlived his father. His father died at 93. Okay, talked about the Mississippi 50. Talking with Tom Grant the other day, Ashland Tom, he threw out something totally from left field, and at first I wasn't sure if he wanted me to crew for him or he wanted me to do it, and I know I'm taking on a lot of, potential crap here, but he wants to do the Pine Creek Rail Trail in Pennsylvania, which is a 100-miler, and he wants to try that, and he wanted me to do it with him, and at first I was like, well, dude, you want me to crew you or do you want me to do it with you? And he's like, well, we should both do it. It's this area of Pennsylvania is called the Grand Canyon of the East. It's Just looking at their website here, it's the Pine Creek Gorge, which stretches for 47 miles, and it's a rail trail, so it's going to be flat along in the valley, and it's natural. It's a national natural landmark and popular with the canoeists and rafters. It's called. Runs along the Pine Creek, but I'm looking at some of the pictures, and it looks a little bit more like a river. Well, obviously, it's an out. I think it's an out and back. Looks like it goes from wherever Wellsboro Junction is to Jersey Shore, and it's repeatedly listed as one of the finest bike rides in the Northeast. So the path itself is kind of a, I think, a packed down cinder trail, you know, one of these typical rails to trails things, which are great to run on. And that is in September of next year. Well, it's September 12th and 13th of this year. Probably be a similar weekend next year. And I told him I would definitely give that some thought. I don't know if I could cover that far. I really don't, or if I even want to. I just don't know. I mean, I'll be 47 at that point next year. I've gained weight. I've slowed down. And, of course, this season here has been the most the least amount of motivation I think I've ever had. And but, you know, sometimes all it takes is signing up that changes things. And that's what... You know, that's when you change your mind and you now have a goal. And if you have somebody else to kind of do it with or that you know will be out there, that would, you know, give you a little bit more inspiration. The only problem is if we did it together, we would both need our own crews. I've tried Rodney and I, who's moved away from Ashland. He kind of defriended me and just they moved back to Arkansas. It's kind of a shame. I don't really know what happened there, but that's just a whole other thing. It makes me very sad. You know, after he had his heart attack, he just kind of pulled away. And if you've listened to the show, you know about Rodney. Rodney's done 50 milers. He's done 100K. And then January of 2 years ago, he had a massive heart attack at age 42, I think, which changed his whole life. And anyway, he's moved back. But I tried, Rodney and I both did the 50 miler in the Keys, and we had the same crew, my wife and his wife, and that just did not work out because we got so separated. It was just impossible for the two ladies to attend to both of our needs. So we would definitely have to do something, have two different crews. So that's something completely in the future. I can't even believe I'm even throwing it out there with the kind of motivational issues that I've been having, how ridiculous things have been in my life with not putting running or exercising as a focus. But sometimes you need that, what do they call it, a big hairy goal, BHG, I don't know, it's big old, big hairy goal or big hairy, I don't know, I've heard of people call you, sometimes you just need to sign up for something big to just get you out of your comfort zone into something again, which is hard, challenges you mentally. And I guess what happened with me when I did that fall race last year, I just got so burned out. I achieved my personal goal. I wanted to... see if I could clear 50 miles in under 12 hours again, which is what I did down in the Florida Keys, and I did. I did it again. In fact, I did 53, just over 53 miles in under 12 hours, and I kind of felt like after that, well, what else was there? I mean, that was my goal. You know, I'm not going to be faster, or you know, my goal should be to win, you know, to run on a 10K in under 50 minutes. That's not what my goals are. My goals are past the double digit mark or in the double digit realm. That's where my running goals are. And so I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how things turn out. All right, let's get into the email bag section of the show. See who checked in this week. We do have some folks that have checked in. Let's see here. I'm going to actually go to the podcast comments here. I'm sorry, I'm kind of talking. Heard from Greg Smith. He signed Dr. Smitty. He signed up for Patrick Henry Half. He stays. I've actually invited him to stay at my house before, but the problem is that we just don't have very good accommodations, and I'm just not a very good host. I know that. I don't know what it is. But he's actually staying at a hotel that's right at the start finish line. The only thing he has to put up with is the train that's a block away from his room. So we're gonna go out to the Center of the Universe Brewery that night. I'll get a group out there, and we'll meet up. And let's see. I've also just trying to finalize stuff with you, Greg, to see what time you want to go out that night. If when you get in on Friday, we'll go get our race bibs together and check things out. So I look forward to seeing you, man. Be good to visit. Heard from Tim Cleary, a gosh, I can never say it. Abuelo runs. Is that what it is? He is. He's runs out of the Chattanooga area, but he actually ran in Richmond this past weekend. His niece got married. He did a 10-mile run in Richmond, and he says after I described running in Richmond, he just had to get out. He ran out and back on Monument Avenue, and Monument Avenue is nationally known. It's the avenue that has large monuments from the Civil War. It also has Arthur Ashe on it. It's a pretty cool place to run. It's a cobblestone. And Tim, I'm curious if you ran in the median or did you run on the sidewalk? Because if you ran in the median, you'll see that there's a little dirt trail there in the grass where people run. And running in the median is a little different experience than running. You just have to watch out for dog shit. But anyway, he says Tim encountered a large number of runners that were training for the Richmond Marathon. It was kind of cool to be out there. He ran the San Francisco Marathon with his son 2 weeks ago. He did a half trail race in Chattanooga in early August, and then his son, his father, and him are running the Quad Cities full marathon at the end of September. And what I'm going to do is look up Quad Cities because I do not know where that is, and I'll get that here in just one click. And looks like that's going to be, let's see, well, they're calling it the Midwest's favorite marathon. The homepage does not say where that is. So let's see. Let's see if I can figure this out real quick. Fortunately, I can't tell where it is just by clicking on it. Doesn't really say. Oh, it's in Illinois. Here we go. So good for you, man. I hope that works good for you. And it really is nice to hear from you as always. And I appreciate you checking in. And I got back to you right away. I know that. Heard from Thomas. Mueller, and he says, part of his email said, "Hey, Dave, regarding running in your funk, I know it well, going through the same, hard to push out for group rides and runs when I'm the last athlete every time. I'm trying to find a B group, but not much luck so far. But in all, I still love to run and train, did a 10-mile this morning. In 30-plus years, it's still the best thing that ever happened to me, journey on." Thomas, I really do appreciate that. It's always nice to hear from you, and I'm getting out of my funk, and in fact, doing this podcast tonight is actually getting me kind of excited about some of the stuff, so it's pretty cool. I appreciate you checking in. I heard from Neil Richard, and this was actually a late June email. Finally got back to him. He did the Seashore 50K, which he said is an awesome race and has great swag. I'd love to run it again. Yeah, Neil, and for anybody else that's listening, that's down in the Tidewater area of Virginia. And it's put on by the Tidewater Striders group, and it's outstanding. I ran it in its first year, and it poured down rain, and what happened was the tide came in, and we had to run through knee-deep water, but that didn't bother. And it was really cold, because I think it's in December, if I'm not mistaken. And just for other reasons, I haven't been able to go back and do it, but I loved it. I thought the support, and the Tidewater Striders is a great running club. And also, he says, we talked about some weapons. He usually carries a knife when he runs, but he's also known to carry a gun and pepper spray because he runs out in the country. And the knife works well to take ticks off his leg. He also cuts branches. And he carries a 380. That's probably the best gun, in my opinion, Neil, for stopping power. Maybe not stopping power, but for anything smaller than that's really... Plus, you can put the 380 in a little pouch or pocket. He wanted to know if an ASP is considered a concealed weapon in Virginia. An ASP is a collapsible baton, and the Virginia Code does prohibit those. They're called spring sticks. That's what they're considered in the Virginia Code. And yes, that would be a concealed weapon if you carry it concealed. But concealed carry permits are for firearms, as far as I know. Let's see. I'm kind of going down a little bit, but he did a little discussion about appreciating the work the police officers do. He said he'd actually considered it once, but he actually went on to a different career because he would probably be that he would be Judge Dredd, or he would be the judge, jury, and executioner all at once. But that's pretty good. So I emailed him back and I said, well, How did the Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K go? He said there were slightly more people this year than last year, which was 57. Last year was in the 40s. But it was still less than normal because they have 70. That race is held the first weekend in August, and he said the flies were horrible. He said one guy that ran up front for the first quarter of the race had his back was just covered in welts. And this is a great race. They actually have a cookout after the race. They have ice cream. At least they did when I've done it. And I'm disappointed that I didn't have my training up to a point where I could do this race because it's not that far to go. And I really thought it was a great event when I did it. And of course, Neil, I really appreciated your hospitality when I've been up there. And I'm sorry I didn't get up there this year. All right, heard from Lummix. And we're going to hear about him in the Rosaryville. See if I can find that here. I know. All right, stand by. All right. Well, I found his email, but it didn't have any. Didn't have any comments from him. I had to look him up. He ran on July 19th, 2015, the Rosaryville 50K. Incredible finish time of 7:50:37, which put him in 59th place out of 68. And which is, what do we say, he wasn't DFL, but DFL is greater than DNF, which is greater than DNS. It's kind of like a algebra equation there. So congratulations to Lummix for his first 50K finish. He hails out of Severna Park, Maryland. And I'm real proud of you, Jim, and give that Mississippi Trail 50 some thought. And we'll talk some more about that. But my idea of taking the train down there and making is just too expensive because train would take me up to DC before it took me south, and that's just too much money. Although it's pretty comparable to flying, it's just that it's longer. So we'll just end up flying or driving. We'll figure it out. Maybe we should fly. So anyway, let's see. One last announcement before I wrap the show up. If you are anywhere close to Ashland, Virginia, which is the center of the universe, we're 15 miles north of Richmond. The Hanover Arts and Activity Center is having its third annual Off the Rails Craft Beer Festival on October 3rd, which is a Saturday. And, of course, I'll be volunteering at that again. And the great thing about that is that I'll be volunteering for the first shift 1 to 3, and then I get to hang out there. And volunteering has its very special perks. And the last 2 years has just been great weather. It's a great event. It raises a lot of money for the Hanover Arts and Activity Center. And one of the cool things about the beer festival is that, you know, of course, the craft beer breweries around here bring their booths out and they tap their kegs and you can sample stuff. And, you know, you got to pay to get in and all that. But it's right there on the front lawn of what we call the HAC, the Hanover Arts and Activity Center. And that's just right along the railroad tracks that go through smack dab through the middle of town. And it's just a great small town feeling. And I have a great time. And so if you're interested in coming to that, go to hanoverarts.org and try to get the information from there. I'm working on trying to get a flyer put up on there because I went to it myself and clicked on it, but it didn't have the information. But I do know it's October 3rd. And that's coming right up. And so if you're in this area, it would be a cool thing to go to. And if you are going to go and you listen to the podcast, make sure you email me so I can end up telling you which booth I'm volunteering at so we can then, you know, make that face-to-face meet, which has been cool. I've met lots of people over the years that listen to the podcast. And matter of fact, Dr. Smitty and I met through this podcast, and we've become very good friends, running and otherwise. And there's others that I've met and become friends with. Neil Richards, another one that I just was talking about, that sends emails, and I've been up to one of the races that he volunteers at up in King George County. And there's just several others that just don't come to mind at the moment because I'm doing this monthly show now. I kind of forget some of these things. So, but anyway, this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia. And thank you for downloading the show and coming back. And this is Ashland Dave reminding you to run to the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. And y'all have a good week.